Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts out there. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor, but still want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, to name a few. Perfect for enjoying with family or friends and taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. That's wonderfulpistachios.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Optimal Living Daily, episode 487, an excerpt from the book The Future of Happiness, 5 Modern Strategies for Balancing Productivity and Well-Being in the Digital Era by Amy Blankson, and I'm Justin Mollick, your very own personal narrator. This is where I read to you, just like an audiobook, from blogs mostly, but sometimes from books, like today. It's all in an effort to help you have a more meaningful life, and I've been doing this for nearly 500 straight days now, and it's definitely helping with my own life. I really hope it helps yours too. And I'll mention more about today's author at the end of the episode, but I will say that I got a pre-release copy to read to you, but this book should go out as of today. It seems like a perfect fit for this show. I've been excited about reading it. So with that, let's hear an excerpt as we optimize your life. An excerpt from the book, The Future of Happiness, 5 Modern Strategies for Balancing Productivity and Well-Being in the Digital Era by Amy Blankson. The strategy: grounding ourselves with intention. Avoiding or overcoming distraction, just like happiness, is a choice, and it's one that takes intentionality and practice to master. In the remainder of this section, I'm going to share with you some practical ways that you can ground yourself in intention. Turn attention to intention. My 6-year-old daughter, Gabri, has been working really hard to learn to read recently. One night, she picked up the book How to Be Present by Raina DiOrio and started reading, sounding out each and every word slowly. She spent about 2 minutes reading the cover, and then another 2 reading the title page, an exact replica of the cover. At first, I was beaming at her budding reading skills and the quality moment we were having. About 10 minutes into the book, though, we were only on page 2, and I was struggling to sit still. I just wanted to grab the book and read it. The irony of the moment didn't escape me. I was struggling to be present long enough to read a book about how to be more present. In fact, my daughter's deliberate reading felt like nails on a chalkboard, and I had to have a serious internal conversation about why it was so hard for me to sit and listen. Without overthinking it, I think the issue was that I had become a task-focused person rather than a process person. I strongly aligned my personal value with my productivity, and to be more productive, I needed to move quickly. To move quickly, I needed to multitask. And that book about being present was calling me to single task at the cost of getting my daughter to bed on time, failing to do, which would prevent me from doing more multitasking, which in turn caused my foot to bounce uncontrollably each time I looked at the clock. I didn't start out like this. As my daughter's exasperating book subtly suggests, children are born present and learn from adults how not to be present. Ugh. I'd grown into this person largely through a series of subconscious choices. Long ago, I jumped on the productivity treadmill and had gotten so used to it that I felt like I needed to run even when I jumped off. I have identified a few suspects in this tragedy. The school system, which started me on this race for education, society as a whole, which taught me that accomplishment was the measure of a life well lived, technology, which has sped up the pace of life. But the real culprit was me. My lack of being present was a choice, and it was one that I never meant to make. The big question is, if we didn't have tech, would we really be more focused, mindful, authentic, and intentional? If not, then tech is not the fundamental problem. In fact, tech can be part of the solution, but only if we are intentional about learning how to control it. Take a three-pronged approach. Just as my brother, Sean, and I learned from our electricity experiment at the beginning of the last section, if you're going to plug in, you have to be grounded. Tapping into a third prong allows you to control the power of the technological world by focusing and channeling your energy with intention. Your third prong might be a set of beliefs, a mantra, or even just a list of rules that you live by. Regardless of the source, this grounding prong connects you more strongly to your energy source and helps you to align your efforts in a productive way. Without this prong, we are like live wires, spewing energy in all directions and putting others around us at risk in the process. Helen Kane, co-founder of the executive coaching firm Authentic Impact, offers a visual window into how this looks in our lives. The siren call of an arriving text or email captures our attention even when we know we should be concentrating on the task at hand. We sneak a peek at dangerous or inopportune times whilst driving, for example, or reading to our children at bedtime. Feeling vaguely guilty about this, we valiantly tell ourselves that we looked just this once because we were waiting for an important message. Really? Truly? Due to cognitive dissonance, our capacity for self-deception is almost as great as our love affair with distraction. Cognitive dissonance is the mental stress we feel when we hold or act upon contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values at the same time. It's the discomfort we feel when we present one version of ourselves on Facebook when we know that reality is actually quite different. Brené Brown, a professor at the University of Houston and author of The Gifts of Imperfection, describes authenticity as, quote, the daily practice of letting go who we think we are supposed to be and embracing who we are, unquote. The further we get from our authentic selves, the further we move from becoming our ideal selves. The way that we prevent that mission drift is by grounding ourselves in a set of guiding principles that inform our behaviors and habits. A few years into starting GoodThink, we found ourselves busier than we ever imagined. In 2009 alone, Sean had traveled to more than 45 countries to lecture on the science of happiness, only to land in the hospital shortly thereafter with excruciating back pain. He had worked himself into the ground. Something had to give. The further we get from our authentic selves, the further we move from becoming our ideal selves. I take full credit as his co-founder, but more important as his bossy younger sister, for starting an important and life-changing conversation about priorities and boundaries. Fueled by his desire to share the research of positive psychology, Sean felt driven to say yes to anyone and everyone who wanted to hear his message. I astutely pointed out that if he burned out, no one would hear his message. In fact, people looked to him as a thought leader in how to live out the principles of positive psychology. They needed him to make the hard counterculture choices. So we started to make some very tiny changes in the way that we did things. One of the simplest changes was to write an authentic away message when he went out of town. Instead of the innocuous note alerting people that he would be out of the office until Monday, he began to expound on what he was doing. I'm taking a vacation with my family and trying to be more present by stepping away from technology for a week. At first, he feared that partners would be annoyed that he was unreachable, but the reaction was exactly the opposite. Sean got a flood of emails, which he read after vacation, thanking him for practicing what he preached, for validating what others believed we all should be doing, for giving others the courage to try the same thing themselves. Sean made a trade-off that aligned with his values, favoring authenticity and quality time over productivity, and the payoff was exactly what he desired: closer connection with the organizations that shared his vision for work-life balance. Not all trade-offs are this straightforward and simple, but when choices are grounded in intention and thoughtfulness, you can be assured that the choice is one that you will not regret. Questions to consider? What values, principles, or beliefs compromise your third prong? Is your third prong plugged in firmly, or are you letting other distractions zap your energy and derail your efforts? And are there practices like journaling or meditation that can help you realign your day-to-day choices with your priorities? You just listened to an excerpt from the book, The Future of Happiness, 5 Modern Strategies for Balancing Productivity and Well-Being in the Digital Era by Amy Blankson. And the book should be out now as of today. Do a search for The Future of Happiness by Amy Blankson, and you can also find her at goodthinkinc.com. Amy is the only person to be named a point of light by 2 presidents, George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. She went to both Harvard and Yale and founded the Future of Philanthropy Conference, as well as GoodThink, which is all about bringing the science of happiness to life for both organizations and individuals. Again, you can find her and more about her book at goodthinkinc.com which I've linked in this episode's description and at oldpodcast.com, as usual. I'll leave it there for today. I'll be back tomorrow with another female author, actually. So I'll see you there, where your optimal life awaits.